text of the Word of God that we consider this morning is from the chapter that we read, or this evening I mean, from the chapter that we read, 1 Corinthians 15, especially verse 57. Let's read 55 through 57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole of the life of the child of God, beloved, is, as we know well, a life of giving thanks to our God. A life of thankfulness. That's the main thing in the life of the child of God. Giving thanks always, and giving thanks to God for all things that He has given us and that we have. What our text does is calls our attention especially to giving thanks to God for a victory over two enemies that are mentioned in the context that we will note shortly. But giving God thanks for a victory that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many times in the Word of God, when it comes to setting before us our calling to be thankful and to live a thankful life, the Word of God comes to us with a command, an admonition, a command from God to be thankful. But you'll notice that our text is not an admonition. The text is Paul's expression of thanks to God for a victory, his own personal expression of thanks for a battle that has been won and for enemies that have been defeated by Christ. And his intention and the purpose that the Apostle Paul has in this is that you and I join him in giving thanks to God for this victory. That we, as it were, are carried along with him, that we do the same, that we make this expression of thanks to God our own expression of gratitude to our Savior and our Lord. So let's do that. We should. Let's join him in giving thanks to God as we consider this text under the theme, Thanks for Victory in Christ. We'll note our victory in Christ and our thanks for that victory. Whenever you speak of a victory, there are, of course, enemies that are involved, enemies that are defeated, enemies that are overcome. The Apostle Paul, in speaking of that here, by inspiration, has in mind the enemies that he mentions in verse 55 of this chapter, the enemies of death and the enemy of the grave. Those are the enemies. Enemies that are fearful, enemies that are powerful, enemies that are destructive, and enemies against which you and I are powerless. We fear them, and yet there is nothing we can do about those enemies. And so the enemy is death. Death is an enemy. And the apostle is speaking here not of spiritual death, but of physical death. Speaking of death as the enemy that takes us away from this life. When this earthly house is dissolved and our earthly life is over, that enemy, the enemy of death, a mighty enemy, an enemy that has a sting, an enemy that has a poisonous sting, an enemy that wounds, an enemy that kills, an enemy whose sting can be compared to the sting of a scorpion, the enemy that brings an end to earthly life, that takes us away from this world and all that is earthly, so that we're gone and we are no more on this earth. And death is an enemy, not simply and not merely because it brings an end to earthly life, but death is an enemy because death is the punishment of God for sin. God said, "The soul that sinneth shall die." And physical death is part of that punishment for sin. And therefore, death as an enemy is that which takes the child of God out of this life, not only, but takes one normally to eternal death. That's why death is an enemy. The other enemy mentioned here is the grave. A grave, he mentions in verse 55. And that, as you know, is when the body is placed in the ground, and when what we now consider to be strong physically is no more, has no more life in it. When what is now a marvelous and an amazing creation of God, our physical bodies, return to the dust from whence they were made and become nothing. And the grave is a mighty power that destroys, a mighty power that has the victory, a mighty power that has the victory and seems to have the victory because it causes us to return to the dust from whence we were made and defeats us, as it were, by holding us as its prisoners, so that a person dies, a person is buried, and that's it. They are forever dead. An enemy that, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, is God's punishment for sin. An enemy that, apart from Christ, brings us not merely into the grave, but brings us into the eternal grave, the eternal pit of corruption and destruction. It's striking to notice what the child of God says here concerning these enemies in verse 55. The believer is very conscious of these enemies, and the believer is very much aware of what these enemies are. He knows what they, apart from Christ, mean for him, and now he comes to those enemies, and as it were, he defies those enemies and their power over him. And he says to them, "Death, where is thy sting? Where, death, is your poisonous bite that kills? Where is your sword that will kill me forever? Where is your power to take me into everlasting death and destruction and desolation?" And then the grave as well. "O grave, where is thy victory? Grave, where is your ability to defeat me, a child of God? Where is your victory over me so that you will forever hold me in your clutches and prevent me forever from ever living again?" It's as though the child of God says to these enemies, "You have no sting. You have no victory. These do not exist for you anymore. You cannot kill me. You cannot hold me down. You cannot prevent me from living again. Both of you are powerless to take me away from God and away from Christ and eternally into death and hell. There's no sting anymore. There's no victory anymore, the child of God confesses. It's gone. I have victory over death, and I have victory over the grave. And how are we able then to taunt and to defy and to speak confidently over against these powerful enemies? To be so bold as to defy them? Well, we're able to do that because, as our text mentions in verse 57, we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him who is God, through Him who is divine, through Him who is the Almighty, through Him who has the power to vanquish and to destroy these enemies, death and the grave. How did Christ do that? He did that through His death on the cross and His battle there against the root cause of death's sting and the root cause of the grave's victory, namely sin. Notice verse 56 points to that. The sting of death is sin. That's really why these are enemies, as we already said. Death is an enemy because death is God's punishment for sin. The grave is an enemy because the grave is God's punishment for sin. And apart from Christ, death and the grave have the right, on account of our sin against God, to kill us, and the right to take us forever from God's presence into hell, for the wages of sin is death. But Christ has given us the victory. The apostle states, and the word of God sets before us here. And He has given us that victory because He battled against these enemies and conquered them by overcoming that which is the root cause of these being our enemies, namely the sin that we committed against the Most High Majesty of God. And He battled against our sin. He took our sin and all that that sin deserved upon Himself. He battled against its power over us. He battled against the curse of sin that we deserved. He battled against the punishment of God that we deserve because of our sin. And Christ won the battle and deprived death of its sting and destroyed the grave's victory over every child of God for whom He died on the cross. That's why verse 54 says, death is swallowed up in victory. There is a victory over death, and there is a victory over the grave through Christ's death on the cross. Christ not only gained it through His death on the cross, He also gained that victory for us through what followed the cross. That was Christ's victory over death and the grave through His resurrection from the dead. Christ went to the grave. Christ Himself went to the place of corruption, and that grave sought to swallow up and to destroy Him, as it had done and as it still does with others. But as Psalm 16 verse 10 states, Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, in the grave, nor suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption, and states that prophetically And that was fulfilled for the Lord Jesus Christ. The grave did not corrupt the Son of God when he was buried. He arose the third day from the dead. The grave could not hold him down. The grave could not and did not have the victory over the Lord Jesus Christ. Death and the grave were not for him the passage to hell. And they couldn't be. And the reason they couldn't be was because Christ had gone to hell before he died and before he was buried. He had conquered death and the grave on the cross already, where during those 3 hours of darkness he was punished with the punishment of hell. They couldn't conquer him. He had conquered them. Really, when we think of what Christ did in terms of the words of verse 54 or 55 here, we must understand that Christ could say, "Death, where is your sting for me? You don't have one. Grave, where is your victory over me, the Son of God? You are defeated. I have conquered you both. I have defeated sin." And therefore, it's because of Christ that we can defy these enemies. There is a natural fear that we have of death and a natural fear that we have of the grave. But the text tells us this victory has been given to us. Christ's battle was our battle. Christ fought against death and the grave on our behalf. He took away their sting and their hold on us. And he gives that victory to us. He gives that victory to us in such a way by faith and by the work of his Spirit in us, in such a way that we can know and we can experience in our lives, even as we still must face death and still must face the grave, can nevertheless experience we have a victory over that. And this is a victory that we can enjoy. We can know and we can be assured that death and the grave no longer have power over us. And therefore we too can defy these enemies. Each of us can, by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, fearlessly declare concerning death and the grave, "The sting of my death is gone. My death cannot destroy me. I have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, I do not fear death. I do not face death as one who has no hope beyond it. I do not face death as one who must say, if I did not have this victory through Christ, that death will mean for me eternal death. But I can say, because of Christ's victory, I don't care if death takes me from this life. I have victory. I have victory." You say that? You confess that victory do you believe the word of God if you do beloved then you join the Apostle Paul in saying, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for many things. Thanks be to God for the truth of the gospel that is at the very heart of our text, namely, that God gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through Him attained for us this victory. Attain that for us by the Lord Jesus being punished in our place. Attain that for us by the Lord Jesus Himself dying our death. Attaining that for us by giving to us all that the Lord Jesus Christ has earned for us on the cross in such a way that we can by faith in Him know it and experience it. Thanks be to God. We have victory. Victory over death and victory over the grave and victory over the cause of death and the grave, namely sin. Thanks be to God. But it isn't simply a matter of thanking God for the victory over death and the grave. There's more to it than that. Is also our calling to be thankful to God for everything that this victory through the Lord Jesus Christ implies. Not just, beloved, that we don't have to be afraid of dying. We still will die. It is appointed unto man once to die. Death awaits every one of us. And it can be something that seems dreadful to face. We naturally fear death because death severs earthly ties. We naturally fear death because death takes us away from our loved ones. Death takes us away from everything that we know and everything that is near and dear to us. But when we say that we have victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ, we understand not only that death cannot eternally destroy us and take us down to the pit of hell, and therefore we give thanks to God for that, but we also give thanks to God for the fact that death is no longer an enemy, not only, but death is now a servant to the child of God, a servant. Death is now, as we know from the Word of God, the means that God uses to bring His people, as it were, through the doorway of death to heaven, with Him. Death is a servant, not merely an enemy that has been crushed and that's it, but now an enemy that has been taken by God and turned around to be that which serves the good of the people of God. It's the wonder of God's work of salvation. He does a mighty work, and He does a mighty work such that He takes what was an enemy and makes it serve the good of His people. If Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, speaks of this when he says, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." More than conquerors. And we are, beloved, we're more than conquerors because death has not simply been overcome by Christ, but now death has been turned around by him. And that's why the apostle could confess, and we can confess with him in Philippians 1, "For me to live is Christ, and therefore for me to die is gain, is profit, is good." Death is your servant, so that when you die, the words of Christ to the thief on the cross are words that he speaks to you. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." What is there then to fear for the believer as regards death? Thanks be to God for the victory of life eternal that we receive and that we fully experience when we die because of the victory of Christ. Same can be said concerning the grave. We thank him not only for the fact that grave will not destroy us, but because now beyond the grave there is hope. There is that blessed hope of the resurrection from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 is that great chapter in the Scriptures concerning the blessed truth of the resurrection. And you'll notice from the first part of the chapter that it discusses first of all the resurrection of Christ from the dead, because our resurrection from the dead is grounded in his. And it discusses the resurrection of Christ from the dead because there were some who denied it. And so the Apostle Paul points it out as a fact of history, and therefore one who wishes to deny the resurrection of Christ from the dead is one who has to deny and contradict what is historical fact. The Apostle goes on to point out that he arose as the first fruits, of them that slept, which guarantees that we will follow him through our resurrection from the dead. We must and we will, because he has arisen from the dead, the resurrection of every believer is certain. And then the apostle, under inspiration, points out that our resurrection will be a marvelous thing. In verses 42 through 44, "The resurrection of the dead, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body, changed suddenly through the resurrection into that which is heavenly and eternal." And that's very necessary. Verse 50, "For flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Corruption cannot and does not inherit incorruption. Because of that glorious resurrection, we will be made suitable to live forever in the glories of heaven. It's interesting that then the apostle in verses 51 and following brings us ahead in history, ahead in all the ages to the very end. He gives us there in verses 51 through 54 a glimpse of that final day, the day of the end of all things, and the day in which we will be raised from the dead in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's going to happen. That day is coming. That day when suddenly, upon the return of Christ, all the graves will be opened, and all the people of God will be suddenly changed into glory, reunited with their souls, and made fit for life in heaven. The victory over death and the victory over the grave will then be fully realized for the people of God. In a moment, at the sound of the trumpet, and at the return of Christ on the clouds of glory. And because all of that is coming for the child of God, we are not of all men most miserable. The apostle had said earlier in this chapter, if Christ be not raised, we won't be raised. And if we are not raised from the dead, then we're of all men most miserable. We don't have hope. If there is no resurrection of Christ from the dead, and if there is no resurrection of the dead for us to look forward to, what does life mean? We have nothing to live for. We would have nothing to die for. We would have nothing to look forward to beyond this earthly life. All that there would be this life filled with many miseries, and that's it. And then eternal misery to follow. We would be without this most miserable. But because Christ is arisen from the dead as the first fruits of us, we are instead of all men most joyful, most blessed. We have something to live for. The full perfection is coming. When the trumpet sounds, we are going to be changed in a moment into glory. Our life is worth living, and the grave need not be feared. There will be the final resurrection from the dead. Thanks be to God for the victory. There's one more thing that is implied in this victory. You know what else, beloved? What else we can thank Him for? Can thank Him that we have victory not only over death and not only over the grave, but we can thank Him that we have the victory over what verse 56 mentions, the sting of death. that sting of death is something that every one of us experiences in life. That we experience through the many troubles that God sends upon our earthly lives, which are themselves, you could say, part of the judgment of death that comes upon us. Great troubles, sometimes lifelong troubles. Troubles that include, specifically as they are tied to the sting of death, troubles that include the struggles that we have with sickness and with pain, with disease, something that especially the elderly experience, but also others who are suffering with such things in their life. Apart from Christ, there is a very real sting of death to all those things. And that sting is this, that sting is that apart from Christ and His victory, all of those things are God's punishment for sin. Punishment that we deserve. Punishment that is the hand of an angry God. Punishment that is the wrath of God experienced by us already in this life. That's what they are apart from that victory that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. But because, beloved, we have victory over death and victory over the grave, and we have victory over them because of Christ's victory over sin, that is the cause of these being our enemies, the sting of death is gone in this life, removed by the cross of Christ, so that all that suffering that comes upon us in this life is no longer the punishment of God upon us for sin, for Christ bore that. But instead, as we said already concerning death and the grave, all of the afflictions and sorrows of life are also servants to us. Servants to bring us to glory. Servants to prepare us for our place in heaven. By faith, we can look them in the face and boldly say, concerning all those things, you cannot destroy me. You cannot destroy my faith. You cannot destroy my soul. When the devil comes and he tries to say to us and create in our minds those doubts and those questions when we are afflicted as though they are the punishments of God, they come from the hands of a God who is wrathful toward even His people. We can say, no, my Lord Jesus Christ has conquered the power and the sting of these things because He was punished for them. The sting is gone. And they are servants to prepare us for heaven. We have hope. We look beyond what is earthly and what we see with a natural eye. We confess the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is coming, that awaits us. Thanks be to God for that victory over death, over the grave, and over all the troubles of life that would, without this victory, be punishment for sin. Are you thankful? And not only may we say it, but may we also show it. And how shall we show it? Verse 58 points us to that. In light of this victory that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thanks to God for the victory we have through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.